Well, man, this morning, church, as we continue on this series, this journey about the summer road trip. Again, there's a lot of families I know are actually out on a road trip today. This week, they're on some kind of vacation, some kind of thing, and a lot of this stuff that I'm preaching actually are things that God showed me in our own trip earlier this summer. But how many of you know that when you go on a road trip, there are good parts and there are bad parts to a road trip? How many of you guys know that sometimes you can be the good part and you can be the bad part of a road trip? But there are good and bad parts. But, you know, you have to take the bad with the good. It's a package deal. It's all part of the journey. And, you know, Rick Warren, while I don't agree with several things that he teaches, one thing that I do really like that he taught is that, you know, we kind of look at our faith journey as like going through hills and valleys. And he says, when in fact, it's more like we're on a set of railroad tracks. And you got a good track and a bad track, and like they're both always going to be there, and you're going to have both of them in your life, and you just got to find that balance of being able to stay on the tracks. So sometimes that can be true for us, but when we think about a road trip, I don't know about you, but for me, I kind of have this perfect trip in mind, right? If everything can happen the way that I want, if everything is ideal, this is what I would like for it to look like. This is how I envision this taking place, things falling in line, and in your vision of your trip, nothing goes wrong, right? I mean, unless you're a real pessimist, then maybe everything goes wrong. But for most of us, it's like, this is what I want. This is what I'm hoping to see happen, where nothing goes wrong, where everybody in my family is happy the whole time, the whole trip. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be great? Has anybody ever been on one of those kinds of road trips? Because I haven't, but again, sometimes that's me that's the problem. But when we think about these perfect road trips where nothing goes wrong, that's what's ideal. That's what we hope for, and our goal is to make it perfect, okay? Now, if we desire a perfect road trip, if that's our real expectation, we're probably setting ourselves up for failure because something is going to happen. Okay, but what we need to learn is we need to learn how to enjoy the ride. That's where our focus is going to be today, is enjoying the ride. When we enjoy the ride, to enjoy just means to take pleasure in or to find pleasure in. And I think both of those things are key, that we find pleasure, right, in our journey, but that we also take pleasure in it, right? That we sometimes have to be the one that's like, no, I'm not going to let this stuff bother me. I'm going to take pleasure in the good things that are going on today. In Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." Proverbs tells us that we need to enjoy, right? We need to find pleasure in our road trip because it makes us well. It's good medicine, right? Have you guys ever had good medicine, right, that actually helped you with what you're going through? I've taken plenty of bad medicines, right? I've been having trouble with my legs where it wakes me up at night and, like, I guess restless legs or something. They've tried, like, three different medications, and they don't help. All they do is make me more tired, or I have trouble getting up. So I'm like, this is not good medicine, right? It doesn't do what I need to do. I'm getting rid of it. I'm throwing it away. But then if you take something good that actually helps you with your problem, it is an aid for you. It makes you well. Like medicine for our body, it says that a joyful heart is good medicine for our soul, that it's good for us. And so when we dwell on the bad, it does the opposite, right? It takes away our strength. It says that it's broken spirit is like dried up bones. I don't know about you, but dried up bones doesn't sound very good. It doesn't sound very healthy, but you know what I'm talking about. This bad moment, this bad day, this bad point in a trip that can ruin the entire thing if you let it. Somebody say, if you let it. That's the key, is if you let it, it can ruin the entire trip. Been there, done that. Again, I tell you guys all the time about how amazing my wife is, because, like, if it wasn't for her, I would ruin some trips. I would ruin some things because I can get in a bad mood about it, and I would let it, but she'll be like, no, don't let it. Don't go there. Don't let that happen. So you are the one that chooses whether or not you will enjoy your ride. You're the one that decides whether you're going to find pleasure in it and take pleasure in it, or whether you're going to dwell on the negative. And so we've got to come to this place where we realize that we can't control all of the outside influence, all the outside factors, but what we can control is our inside focus. We can choose how we respond. Romans chapter 15, Paul writes to the Romans, he says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Hope. He says hope is the key right here. This God of hope, that he'll fill you to the point where you will overflow with hope. And so hope is just the expectation of good. Right? When we say we have a great hope in Jesus Christ, it's that we have this expectation that Jesus is good and he's working good in our lives. Amen? We have an expectation of good. It's because of something that's coming. It may not be something you're experiencing right now. This joy is because of the expectation that something good is on the horizon, even if it's not what you have right now. Even if you're not joyful about what you're going through now, Jesus is the God of hope. Amen? He is the God of hope. That's what Paul says here. He says, may the God of hope, right? There's only one. His name is Jesus. It says, will he fill you with all peace and joy as you believe, that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit? He says he will fill you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I could use filled with some joy. I could use filled with some peace from time to time. And here's the thing. He tells us there's a condition. I'm going to give a plug for Tuesday nights for the Bible study Cheryl is teaching about the promises of God. There's a lot of promises of God that have conditions. I don't know if you guys realize that. There are a lot of promises, they're conditional. It's a promise for you, but you have to do something to grab hold of it. And he says right here that he will do this, he'll fill you with joy and peace, but it's as you do something, as you believe. Right? You got to believe for it first, and then he will fill you with it, this joy, this hope, and it will overflow in this expectation of good in your lives. How many of you are in that place where you're like, but I try to have this expectation of good. I try to have hope, and I do believe that he can do that. But in my own power, I just can't seem to get over it. He says that it won't be in your own power, but it'll be by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says you will have this power, this hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, this is how you enjoy the ride. Now, part of our problem with enjoying the ride is there's setbacks, right? Something happens that causes some frustration in our trip. There's something that sets us back just a little bit. Can anybody relate to that on a road trip, right? You something happens that just pushes things back. If you're traveling by plane, the worst thing that happens is a delayed flight, right? You already had to get there 2 hours early, and now your flight got pushed back 2 hours. Frustration, right? Almost instantly, you're like, I got to sit in this stupid airport for 4 hours and waste time. It's a setback. It can cause frustration. Sometimes it's just traffic ahead. And maybe you guys are on a road trip or you're trying to get somewhere and you look up and you see the traffic and you're like, you got to be kidding me. It's great when it's going the other way, but it's not going your way, right? And you're like, this is how we are. I don't know about you guys. Maybe we're abnormal, but it's like, on the way back, we're not hitting that, right? We're going to get off and we're going to drive 800 miles out of the way. It'll take us twice as long, but we're not going to sit in that frustration, in that setback. Sometimes it's that first stop that you take, right? You're like, all right, we got to stop here. It's going to take us 12 minutes. I got it factored into the plan already here. And you go through the drive-through, and that drive-through takes 30 minutes. And you're frustrated because you're like, we didn't have time for this. Everybody, no bathroom breaks. The next stop we're going to have to skip because this one took twice as long. We had a setback, right? So we can let those things frustrate us. We can let those things start to take over the trip, and they kind of take away the enjoyment of the trip. They prevent us from enjoying the ride. So how does that parallel our faith journey? Has anybody ever had a setback in your faith journey? right? Things are going well, they're going according to plan, and there's something that happens that you're like, ah, didn't see that coming, right? I didn't plan for that, and it's caused me frustration. It caused me this place where it's messed up my timeline. It's altered my plans. Can I tell you this morning that you can enjoy the ride even with some setbacks? You can still find your place yourself in a place where you can enjoy the ride. Because here's the deal, okay? So you've had a setback. Kind of stinks. It can be kind of frustrating, but here's what you have to accept. You have to accept that now things have changed. You can't go back. It's too late. You can't start over, right? It's not a video game. You can't just redo. You can't start from the beginning. You've had a setback. Something has changed. Your plans are different. Accept it. Okay, accept that. That's the first step there. But here's the great thing is you are still on the journey, right? If you're going on vacation and your plane got delayed, it stinks. Your timeline's messed up, but hallelujah, you're still going on vacation, right? You still get to go somewhere. You're still not sitting at home bored. You didn't have to go to work today. I love this. I'll do this instead of sitting in the airport, but there's other things that I got to do that I'd rather just go sit in the airport, right? There's probably things you could do at work that you're like, I enjoy this part of my job, but when it comes to that part, dude, I'd go sit in the airport for 4 hours. At least it's good people watching, right? But you can accept the setback, just accept the fact that things have changed, but hallelujah, I'm still on the journey. If you're taking a trip to Florida, and your whole trip gets turned upside down, your plans are changed, they're altered, couldn't you find some joy that you're still on the way to Florida while the rest of us suckers are in Illinois? I mean, that's got to at least be enough to keep you going where it's like, yes, there was a setback, but you know what? I'll take it. I'll deal with it. I can accept that. One time, Christy's parents both used to live in the Panhandle, so we took lots of trips to Florida when our kids were babies all the way up through a couple years ago. And one of our very first trips down there, we had a setback. In Kentucky, some of you have heard this story before, but it's my favorite setback I've ever had. In Kentucky, flat tire. There's an exit right up ahead, like half a mile, so I'm like, this is great. You know, I mean, stinks I got a flat tire, but there's an exit right there. It's like getting off at Brownstown Bluff City exit, right? You get off at that exit, and you're like, now what do I do? Where am I supposed to go? Now, this is like 2000, 2001. Like, GPS wasn't real good, real functional yet. So you're just guessing. Does it look better to go left, or does it look better to go right? And so we go left. We're driving and driving, and we end up in Brownstown, basically. There's one repair shop. There's three guys working in it, and there's tires everywhere, just racks of tires. And I'm like, man, we picked the right one. I walk into the service station that has a dirt floor. It's Kentucky. It's normal. It has a dirt floor. It had this nice rug. It was not nice. It had a rug on the dirt floor with a dog laying on the rug. There's nobody working in there. There's just the dog. So I asked the dog, like, can I get a tire here? You know, he didn't answer me. I go out to the shop, and there's guys out there, and they're like, oh, yeah, man, you should have turned right off the interstate. And I'm like, you have whole racks of tires that are like, oh yeah, we don't have that size though. You should have went right. There's a big place down there that has every size tire. So now I've got to go, you know, 20 miles back the other way. And I'm thinking, I hope this donut makes it there. But we could have let that setback ruin our entire trip. But instead, I accepted it as, you know what, my plans have changed, but I'm still going to Florida. We still got there. We still had a great time. We've had two different big car repairs in Florida. I'm kind of glad we don't go there anymore, actually. $1,500, $2,000 car repairs where they have your car for like half the time you're on vacation. We've had that happen. But you know what? We accept those setbacks and just think about the fact that, hey, I'm still on the journey. I'm still moving forward. We're going to have some fun. And it's the same with our faith journey. Listen, Jesus told us that we would have setbacks. Do you guys realize that? How many of you guys were taught that, man, all you have to do is get saved, give your life to Jesus, and everything's going to be perfect and just, you know, it's going to be awesome for the rest of your life? Was anybody ever taught that? A lot of times people tell me that that's what they believed. I think it's because we're not honest enough about the fact that we have setbacks. But Jesus told us in John 16, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. But he says, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now most of the setbacks he's referring to are against your faith, right? They're attacks against your faith. But what we got to realize is that there's a lot of things that are attacks against our life that are in turn attacks against our faith, right? Because if the devil can get you down in life, he can a lot of times get you to turn from your faith because he takes your joy, takes your peace, and you don't fight to get it back. Or maybe you don't know how to get it back. But he says, Jesus says, you'll have these setbacks, guys, but be of good cheer because I am with you, because I have overcome the world. So he says, find joy. Be of good cheer, right? Find joy. Enjoy the ride. I've overcome the world. Even with setbacks, you can still enjoy it all. And so church, if you're on your faith journey and things are not going your way, can I just tell you that it's okay? Can I just tell you that it's just a setback? It's not the end of the journey. It's not the end of your life. You don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. You don't curse God. You don't turn your back on the church or on God's people or on God. You don't do that. It's just a setback. You can still keep going forward. You can still find joy because you're still on the journey. And for that alone is a reason to praise. Amen? You're still on the journey. Can I tell you that it's like being in Florida while the rest of us are in Illinois? I'm talking to you, Chandlers, if you're watching online. Being in Florida while the rest of us are stuck in Illinois, right? You are on a faith journey if you're in Christ while there's millions of people who are not. It's like being in Illinois, right? It's a little bit worse than that, okay? Illinois is pretty bad, but I mean, think about it. There's millions of people who don't know Jesus. They're not on that faith journey, and guess what? Their life sometimes stinks too. Probably more than yours, because they don't have hope in Christ, right? So here's the deal. We're all dealing with all this garbage. Just the thing about we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We still have to deal with the consequences of life, the actions of people around us, the things we can't control, but we have hope. Amen? So there's people whose lives stink. They stink probably more than yours because they don't have Jesus. We got to be happy that at least we're on the ride. We got to be happy that at least we can enjoy our life. We can enjoy the ride, find joy, and take hold of it. But don't let those frustrating setbacks steal your joy, okay? And then we think about the GPS, okay? When I'm traveling, I like to have GPS on. I remember when we went on a mission trip, we flew out of Chicago, and when we're coming back, right, I know how to get home from Chicago, but I had the GPS on. And I remember somebody in the van was like, hey, you can turn that off. And I'm like, no, I don't want to turn it off. I like it. It tells me when I'm going to get there, right? And it does some other things for us as well. If I'm going anywhere outside of, you know, Effingham or Vandalia or somewhere, I usually turn my GPS on. Now, let's be honest, especially you men who tries to play beat the GPS, right? I mean, it's a great game that we play. Beat the GPS. It's fun. It says it's going to take me 12 hours to get to Florida. I'm getting there in 11. Right? Even if I have setbacks, I'm going to figure in a couple of setbacks. I'm going to get there in 11. I'm going to beat the clock. And so I'm looking for another route. I'm not taking the first suggested route. I'm going to kind of zoom out. I'm going to look at the map and I'm going to think, well, I think if I do that and I do this, I probably can get there a little bit faster. I can probably shave some minutes there. I'm figuring in when I go through certain cities, what time of day is it going to be? Am I going to be in the middle of rush hour? Or I'm going to, you know, they'll be like, why are we leaving at 3 in the morning? So we don't get stuck in rush hour in 8 hours from now. That's why we're leaving at 3 in the morning, right? I start to think about stuff like that. And so we get in this place where it's almost like a competition between me and the GPS. Some of you guys are like this. Some of you guys have been in my shoes. If you haven't, like, I don't know what to tell you. Just some of us are crazy, okay? But GPS, what is GPS? For many of you guys, you're like, it's my phone. Like, That's GPS. Well, GPS is global positioning system, right? So it knows globally, it knows your position. It knows where you're at. It's satellite system. It works in any weather. conditions. It works anywhere in the world. It works 24 hours a day. Here's the thing about GPS is it can see things that you cannot, right? It can see things that you cannot. It's not just an upload of maps. I used to have one of those cars that had the navigation built in. You had to put the maps disc in. Did anybody ever have one of those? And it's like, then there's enough changes where it's like, now you got to buy a new disc. And they're like, give us your firstborn child and you can have a new disc that has updated maps on it. But it's more than maps, okay? GPS is more than maps because it sees your position in relation to other things and their position. It guides you because it can see more than you can see. It knows more than what you know, and it's trying to lead you in the way that it sees as your best use of time. Okay, that's what it's designed for. Okay, to know your position, the position of other things. How can I get you to where you're going with the best use of your time? We're not in competition with the GPS. The GPS is simply a tool that is supposed to be our helper. When we think about our faith journey, this should sound familiar to us, right? This should sound familiar because the GPS is to your road trip the way the Holy Spirit is to your faith journey, right? The Holy Spirit is absolutely there to make sure that you can make the most of your time so that you can enjoy the ride. He sees things that you can't see. He sees where you're at in position to the other things in your life that you're going to encounter, and he leads you in the best way to make the use of the time that God has given you so that you can enjoy the ride. John 14 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." When you're on a road trip, you follow the GPS. Now, when you follow the GPS, right, the level of obedience to your GPS is completely going to be dependent on how much do you trust it. Anybody have a GPS in the early days, like a Garmin or a TomTom or whatever? I mean, when I first got that thing, I trusted it like it knew everything, right? I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. This thing tells me where to go. Like, I trust it without question. And I would follow it blindly. And I remember one time we typed in Best Buy. And I think it was Decatur or somewhere that I probably didn't want to be anyway. But I'm looking for a Best Buy. And we follow it. It's like, turn left, turn right, go down here, you know. We do all these things. And it's like, we turn into this alley between two houses. And it's like, you have arrived at your destination. And I'm like, no, man, this is not Best Buy. You know, I mean, I even looked around, like no guy even had Best Buy, like a sign on his garage, like nothing. It was like, I'm just in an alley. He says that I'm here. I have no idea where to go from here. So needless to say, at that point in time, I lost a little bit of trust with my GPS. Now when it tells me to go somewhere, I'm like, you know what? I think that I actually know better than what you do. I remember that time when you wronged me. I remember that time when you about got me killed in an alley in Decatur when I was just trying to go, you know, and buy a DVD. For some of you, young, that's a DVD, is like a disc that had a movie on it that you put it in. You guys know, you know what that is? Most of you guys know what it is. But I lost some trust back then. And so another time, when you think about an old GPS, when we got smartphones, it was great because now I'm like, this thing updates on its own. Right, this thing updates constantly. It's always got the newest. It's always got the best. And so they're pretty good, pretty accurate. And it's usually not wrong. A lot of times if something goes wrong, it's actually your own fault. Like the time that we went to the Covered Bridge Festival. Like we would go every year. I kind of knew how to get there, but I'm just not good with directions. So I type in Mansfield and I hit go. Did you guys know there's a Mansfield, Illinois? There's no covered bridge there. It's actually a little bit northwest of Champaign. So I drove an hour and a half to get there. I had to drive an hour and a half to get over to Mansfield, Indiana, and then the 2 hours back home. It added a little bit to the trip. It was a setback, but it was my own, right? So I made the mistake there. I love modern GPS. I love that they're so accurate, that they're so good. As long as you put in the right information on your end of it, they're good. That's a good tool. And so I'm not good with these directions and with these maps, but when I do type in the destination, the correct one, it makes the ride a little more enjoyable to me. Now I don't have to worry about did I miss something. Now our biggest thing is like, did the last person who was in here mute it on the stereo or not? It's like, why did I miss that turn? Because somebody muted it the last time, which may have been me. Okay, I'm not necessarily blaming my wife, but somebody muted it. So when I love the GPS that it kind of makes it enjoyable for me, because now I just do what I'm told. I mean, any of you guys ever in that spot where like sometimes it's just nice to just be able to do what you're told, not to really have to think, not to worry about any of it? And so what I love about GPS too is if I do miss my turn, it gets me back on track, right? It's like you don't have to turn around necessarily. Maybe you just go forward and it'll be like turn right and drive down here and turn left, and it'll lead you to where you need to go somehow, some way. The last time we went through St. Louis, I did this where, this may have been the other day, I don't remember. But I remember I missed where I was supposed to go, and I was like, man, there's like cars flying up on my right. I couldn't get over in time. So I went straight, and then it was like, you just go over this little bump around the corner and got back on the interstate, and it actually was shorter than what I was originally doing. I know that because I was looking at the time, right, to see what time I had to beat. And I was like, my time went down 1 minute. So that actually worked in my favor. So it'll get you back on track if you start to get lost. And this is how it is in your faith journey. Right? If your destination is heaven, say amen. Right? If your destination is heaven, you have to go through Jesus. Okay, so you may kind of know the way there. Like, I know I got to go through Christ. I know that's the route to get to heaven. But when you are going along your journey, all you have to do is follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. He's like our GPS. And here's the thing: is when we get off track, guess what he does? Reroute. Get back on track. Come back over here. Do this, go this way. If you miss a turn, you go the wrong way, he'll reroute your course to get back on track. But here's the deal. It's up to you to listen. Right? It's up to you to listen. When the GPS is going and we make a pit stop, it's like we're probably going through Starbucks or something is usually why we're making a pit stop. And it's like, I know where I'm going, but again, I don't like to mute it because sometimes I forget to re-engage the volume on there, and I'm like, I get lost. So I start to say, okay, yeah, I know, be quiet. I start talking back to it. Maybe that's a weird thing that I do, but I talk back to the GPS. But here's the thing. It's up to me to listen, right? When she starts to reroute me and get back on track, I have the choice. Do I want to listen or do I not? Well, here's the thing. How soon do you want to get to your destination? How soon do you want to get back on track? If you want to get back on track as soon as possible, you better start listening. And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. Who hasn't been traveling, you know, to a place that you know where you're supposed to go, you know that it's, man, just a couple hours down this road, right? If you're going south, it's like once you hit, you know, 65 or 24 or whatever, you know, like, man, I just need to go for a while, like 100 miles, a couple hundred miles, whatever. So you just kind of start to tune out the GPS. You ever been in that place where it's like, get off at the next exit, and you're like, I'm not getting off the next exit. Like, what are you trying to make me get off? I know how to get there, and you just ignore it. And then all of a sudden, you come up around the corner over a hill, and all of a sudden, everybody's stopped. Right? What was that GPS trying to do? Trying to get you on the best track for the best use of your time. It was trying to avoid something that it could see that you couldn't see. It's trying to take you a different route, something that may be a little uncomfortable, it may be out of your plans, it may be not what you're used to, but he's saying, I'm going to try to take you this way because it's going to save you some time in the long run. See, the GPS warns us of dangers and slowdowns ahead and tries to reroute us, but we have to listen and reroute ourselves if we want to actually avoid it. And it's the same way again in our faith journey with the Holy Spirit. He tries to lead us down this path that's best for our lives, but listen, we can so easily get stuck in that rut where it's like, I know the way. I know the way. I'm good. you can be quiet for a while. I got this. I'm just going to keep plowing ahead. I'm going to keep going this way for the next, you know, few weeks, few months, few years, whatever I feel like. I'm just going to keep going to where I know I need to go. And you can just be quiet for a little bit. You put on the cruise, enjoy the ride, right? Just take it easy. Then all of a sudden, Holy Spirit's like, no, stop. I need you to take a detour. I need you to get off here. And you don't listen. Why? Because we know better, right? How often do we think we know better than God? Because we planned for this trip, right? Like we talked about 4 weeks ago. You planned for this trip. It's a good plan. It's a good plan. I already know the route. I don't need your assistance right now, God. I've got it all figured out. We've got to remember that God is like that GPS where he sees everything from such a high view that he sees more than what we can see. He knows more than we know, and he knows where we're at in position to everything else around us. He knows how things will affect us. And so when he reroutes you, you don't know better, church. When he reroutes me, I don't know better. There's times where I think that I do. But the fact of the matter is that I don't, because I don't see what he sees. And I've got to trust him. Listen, God's never let me down like a Garmin has let me down, right? He's never led me down a shady alley in Decatur and told me that that was Best Buy, right? He's never done anything like that in my life. He is faithful. Like we've been singing about this morning. He's faithful. He wants you to enjoy the ride, and he even wants you to enjoy the rerouting in your life. When you look at different rides, when we think about enjoying our journey, what I should say is I should be a little more specific. Instead of just enjoying the ride, you need to enjoy your ride. It's important that we enjoy our own ride. So here's the deal. Someone will always have a nicer car. They'll be staying in a better hotel. They'll be eating better food at the restaurant. I don't like that whenever I order something at the restaurant and I'm between two things and then somebody else at my table or another table gets it, the other thing, and I'm like, oh, wish I would have got that. Christy, do you want to trade? She says no. She usually offers me part of it, right? But we start to compare to other people's rides, other people's journeys, what other people are doing, what they're going through. And listen, your journey might look a lot like somebody else's. It might be a lot similar to somebody else's journey, but listen, you've got to find joy in your own journey. You've got to find joy in your own ride, because listen, all comparison does is rob you of that joy. All it does is rob you of that joy, right? The whole grass is greener on the other side, and then you don't know how much poop is on their lawn, right? You don't know how it got so green. You don't know what they've been through to get what they've got. You've got to learn to find the good in your own, right? You could see pictures of a friend of yours that went on a trip to, you know, to the mountains of Colorado and how beautiful it is. And man, I really wish I could have done that. And all we were able to afford to do is go to the free zoo in St. Louis. Listen, can I tell you that at least you got to go to the free zoo in St. Louis? At least you got to go there. Like, enjoy your ride. Enjoy your trip. Enjoy your journey. And don't worry about comparing it to somebody else's, because God has your own thing for your own life. It's not about who has the better trip. It's about, are you enjoying the trip that you are on? Amen? It's about enjoying your own trip. The better trip for you is actually the one that you're on. You know why? Because you are there. You know, so often we can get stuck in that comparison where it's like, I'm missing out on the things that are right in front of me because I'm looking around and comparing and wishing I had what someone else had. But it's like, there's no better trip for you than the one that you are on, because that's the one where you are at. It's the one where you can find joy. It's the one where you can impact lives. It's the one where you can do what God has led you to do. The most important thing for your journey is for you to be present, for you to be active, for you to be looking around. So that's how it is in our faith journey, church. There will always be somebody that's doing greater things for God than what you're doing. There will always be somebody that's got more sparkle, more shine, more Facebook likes, more posts, more this, more that, a bigger church, more friends, more liked at work, a better position. There's always somebody that's going to have something else that you could say that's better than what I have. But what are you doing with what God has given you? Can you just find joy in that? You know, because maybe that's where we're stuck. That's why we're stuck where we're at, is because we're not finding joy in the very thing that God has given us. Find joy where you're at. You know, find a way to make an impact where you're at. Find a way to enjoy the ride just a little bit more. You have to find joy in this journey that God's given you, because there's no better place for you to be than where the Spirit of God is leading you. Philippians chapter 4, Paul, if you guys don't know much about Paul, he's been through a lot of stuff. He's been shipwrecked, he's been boiled, he's been stoned, he's been whipped, he's had all imprisoned many times, all this stuff. And when he writes this letter, Philippians, which is often called the joy letter, he's actually in prison when he writes this. And it's not like being in Greenville prison, right, where you got like, they probably have a better room than what you do at home, the bigger TV than you do at home. It's not like some luxurious thing. We're talking about being chained to a wall, right? Chained to a wall. You can't move. You're going to the bathroom where you're sitting, right? Kind of prison is what Paul would have been in. And this is what he writes in Philippians 4:11. He says, I don't say this out of need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether I'm in abundance or I'm in need. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what his circumstances are, no matter where he's at, listen, this is the most out of context used verse probably in all of the Bible, is that basically I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. But listen to what he's going through. He's basically saying, regardless of what life has for me, because I'm in Christ, I can do all things. Because I'm in Christ, I can live in any circumstances. I can enjoy any journey that I'm on. He's chained to a wall, probably sitting in his own waist as he writes this, church, and he says, listen, I've learned the secret. Guys, I've learned the secret about finding joy no matter where I'm at. I've learned the secret of finding joy no matter where this life leads me, because listen, the spirit of comparison doesn't lead you to joy. The spirit of comparison leads you away from joy, right? And so he says, I've learned that it doesn't matter what I have if I've got Jesus, right? If I've got him, it doesn't matter what else I have. It doesn't matter where I go, as long as I'm going where the Spirit of God leads me, as long as I'm following Jesus. He says, these things don't matter to me. Deuteronomy 31 says, the Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you, and he will not leave you or abandon you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Jesus told us the same thing, right? He said, I'll never leave or forsake you. He said, go into all the world, right? Share about who I am. I'll never leave you. I'll be with you no matter what. And so listen, no matter what your ride is like, if God is your guide, you can find joy in the ups and downs. You can find joy no matter if you're on your timeline or if you've had a setback. It doesn't matter. Those circumstances don't dictate whether you get to enjoy your life and your journey with him. Listen, I believe that God wants us to enjoy life. And you guys believe that? I believe God wants us to enjoy life. Am I a prosperity gospel teacher? Sort of. I believe that God wants you to be blessed. I believe that God wants you to have good things. But I'll tell you what, that doesn't mean that you're not going to go through hard times. That doesn't mean that blessing and favor and joy is always going to come in the form of what you think that it would come in, because we've got to learn to be like Paul, where no matter what, I will still find my joy in the Lord. No matter what, I will still find that joy. I'll embrace all this life that God gives me, because listen, he wants you to find value in the journey that you're on. Listen, because it's your journey. Because it's the journey that he's given you, and he is with you. Say, he's with me. It's important that we get that, church. Right? He wants you to be present so that you can enjoy the ride. right? A joyful heart is good medicine. He's like, listen, you're at your best. You feel the best. You're most functional. You have the least resistance against your life when you are full of joy because it's good medicine. It brings you back to a place of being healthy and functional. Not necessarily being in control, just being healthy and functional with what you do. You have to find the joy, and you have to take hold of it, right? It's not just finding it. Yeah, I know where it's at. It's over there. If I decide I'm going to quit being a whiner, like I'm speaking to myself, I decide I'm going to quit being a baby, I'll go over there and get joy. I know where it's at. No, you got to find it, and you got to take hold of it. You got to find it, and you got to choose to exercise it in your life. Man, you've got to know the God of hope. Amen? You got to know the God of hope. That's that expectation that it's going to be good. That's that expectation that it's going to turn around. That's that expectation, that knowing that even if you have that setback, that it doesn't matter. It's just a setback. It just means that the course might be changed a little bit, but listen, I'm still on course. I'm still on the journey. Do you have the God of hope this morning? Do you know Jesus? I mean, really know him. Listen, in our group that me and Jake are leading on Wednesday nights, one of the greatest things is like, listen, we talk to these kids and we ask them questions. We want to know, like, what do you want to know? We let them try to figure out their faith, not just tell them what they should believe. Because listen, the most important thing in our lives is that we know Jesus. Not that your mom and dad does, not that your spouse does, not that your brother or sister does. The most important thing in your life is that you personally know him. Amen? That you know him. You can't get saved by somebody else knowing him. You don't go to heaven because somebody else knows him. It's because you know him. Do you really know him? Have you made that decision to follow Jesus? To let him lead you and to guide your life? To reroute you when you get off course and you get in a little bit of trouble? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you stand with me this morning? Listen, he will fill you with all joy and peace as you believe. He'll fill you with all joy and peace as you believe. Listen to this place where we're overflowing with hope. I don't know about you, but there's not a lot of times where I'm really overflowing with hope. I've got hope, but sometimes I can let the things of this world, the things of this journey kind of weigh me down to the point where I'm not overflowing with it. I got enough. I got enough to keep me going, but I want to be overflowing with hope, overflowing with this expectation of good, this expectation that God is working in me and for me by the power of his Spirit. Amen? Listen, you can expect a good journey. I want to tell you that this morning. If you have hope in Christ, you can expect a good journey. You can expect to find joy no matter how difficult the road gets. You can expect, church, that tomorrow will be better than today, right? His mercies are new every day. You can expect tomorrow will be better than today. You can expect him to work all things together for your good if you love him. You guys realize that? It's another condition, right? He says, I'll work all things together for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose, right? So we claim that first part, but listen, it's if you love him. We can expect to enjoy the ride. Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for your word. God, we thank you that you are a God who guides us. You are a God who came, that you gave your life on a cross so that we could have life in you and that we could follow you forever. Lord, we thank you that your promises for us are faithful and true. And so this morning, God, I pray for each and every person here, first of all, that we would believe. Lord, I pray that we would actually believe that you are who you say that you are, that we would actually believe that you have good for us if we love you, that we would actually believe that if we follow you, there's no place we should rather be. Lord, you are faithful. You are loving. You are good. You have good plans for each and every person that you created. And so, Lord, we want to be those that walk in those plans. For each and every person who doesn't know you, hasn't made that decision to call you Lord, Lord, I pray for them right now that you'd begin to speak to their hearts. Draw them close to you. Your word tells us that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. That leads us to that place where we desire fellowship with you. So we just pray that you'd release that over this place right now for each and every man, woman, and child, that we could truly know you, know who you are. We don't want to just know about you. We don't want to just read a biography. Lord, we want to know your heart. We thank you for your saving grace this morning. We thank you for your promise that we can live a good, enjoyable, peaceable, hope-filled life by our faith in you. Lord, one that as we go out will impact those around us. Lord, we don't want to just live a good life, but we want to live a good life so that we can show others who you are. So that we can lead them to the place where we've been. So we can say, hey, I know a better way. I know a better way to deal with frustration and these setbacks in life. And it's just to accept them and look forward at the journey ahead. And so, Lord, we just declare today that we will follow you wherever you take us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.